Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts Zigzag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smokin' Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
How do? Me, your boy Rufus, naturally Zigzag got kicked off as soon as the show went live, which makes zero sense. You'd think, surely, we're not the only people complaining about this. Hang on, see if I can get Double Z back in.
Now, Double Z here.
Double Z.
Mr. R, how are you, fine sir?
I'm good. How are you? You got kicked off again once the show went live.
You know what?
What the hell?
I don't know. You know what? I would be disappointed almost, Mr. Rufus, if it didn't happen now.
Yeah, me too. It's almost comforting that it does, because it's like,
right. Okay,
everything in the world is working the way I expect it to be. Fucked up.
Exactly. If this went smoothly, dude, I don't know what I would do. I really would start to worry about my health. I probably would go have a complete physical.
I would question the status of nature and reality as we know it. I would think that we've slipped out of the matrix or something if things actually went right.
You know what? I would think that machine that's going to make those tiny fucking black holes is on super overdrive and had sucked us into a virtual other world where Blog Talk Radio and Skype worked together in unison.
Yeah, that's one of the unexpected side effects of the super hadron collider, is that Blog Talk Radio actually works kind of well.
Maybe the only, like, three times that we ever had a decent show where Blog Talk Radio and Skype worked together, and as well as the internet hookup, was probably in an alternate dimension.
You know, I bet we could probably download some data from the Collider's website and, like, corroborate, like, when they've done experiments and when Blog Talk Radio and Skype have worked. And we could probably plop that on Excel graph and prove it.
You know, what's funny, Rufus, and, you know, you're a science guy, and you know that Mr. Mockingjay, is it Dr. Mockingjay? Is he a doctor?
Yeah, but the doctor is kind of in quotes. But, yeah, it's Dr. Mockingjay.
Right, yeah. Sort of like when I do.
He prefers to go by Doc Mockingjay.
Sort of like when I tell the ladies that I'm D. Zigzag, Esquire.
Yeah, or when I tell the ladies I'm disease-free.
And you just blatantly lie to people's faces like that, dude. I respect that.
Thank you. Takes balls.
It does. It takes very diseased balls. So, I mean, now they're going to make these tiny little fucking black holes. Should I be scared, Rufus?
I don't know. All the scientists seem to say, they're just little black holes.
Right, but I thought a black hole was, like, so fucking powerful that it collapsed in on itself. No matter what the size, probably.
That's what I thought. I thought the whole notion of a black hole was it's so dense and immense and the gravitational pull is so insane that everything around it collapses into it. I would think that even a microscopic black hole would pretty much destroy the entire planet, but they seem to be like, we'll see.
Well, this is the scary part to me, is the whole idea that they don't know, first of all, is fucking terrifying, but a giant fucking black hole sucks in whole other fucking galaxies, right?
Yeah.
So I don't care how small your fucking black hole is, it could easily suck up Earth. Could it not?
That's what he said.
Oh, that's what he said? Whoa, that's a clever one.
That's what he said to the African-American hooker. I don't care how big the black hole is.
After that, that's what he said.
Yes.
A black hole. Yeah, black holes are something. Let me tell you. Usually they just pull in your wallet and your jewelry.
I had a shirt once. I don't know if I told you this. It said, science approves of interracial marriage because even Stephen Hawking loves a black hole.
Oh, my good Lord.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You think Stephen Hawking has to take, like, Viagra, or do you think, like, boners are a thing of the past for Stephen Hawking?
I don't think he's even aware of boners. He might get them, but I don't think he knows it.
What, because he's, like, too busy thinking about outer space and shit?
Well, can he feel anything from the neck down?
I mean, you can breathe, which says to me that, like, your muscles and shit work inside of your lungs, right?
Oh, that's
true.
He's
not, like, on
a
ventilator.
Well, I mean, he probably gets boners, but, man, how frustrating would that be to be in a wheelchair with a raging boner and you're just, like, you can't, what do you do?
Buddy, this is so strange, dude. I wondered that exact question myself. Unfortunately, I did imagine that question myself and was wondering. And it turns out in Australia, they have, like, your nurse is expected to fucking give you a Yankee.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead fucking serious, dude. I'm dead serious.
Really?
Like, they have special nurses that go around, dude, and fucking give guys hand jobs. Like, disabled guys and people in wheelchairs or people who can't use their arms and shit. I'm like, that is fucking righteous, dude.
That would be
a good
documentary to follow some of those nurses around.
Oh, wouldn't it be crazy? I'm sure someone's already done that, wouldn't you think? But it's just giving a disabled person or a hand job just seems very kind to me.
Yeah, that seems extremely cool. I mean, I don't know what other word to use. It's cool. I mean, that's how humans should behave around
it's
other people
humane.
That need something.
Let's just say it's humane is probably the right word. I don't know if cool is the right word.
It's
what
humane.
Someone needs
to
do, dude, is just make a fucking disabled people being yanked off compilation and sell it to, like, wheelchair tube or something.
Oh, my God, wheelchair tube.
I'm sure there – I don't want to search, Rufus, because I know there's one. I know there has to be one, doesn't there? Doesn't there just have to be a wheelchair tube?
I was hoping you'd search because I really don't
want to.
Oh,
I'm going to for the good of experimental radio.
I'm not sure. I don't know if good's the right word yet. We'll see.
Well, good may have not been the right word. We won't really know until after I've done the search. So, I'm just going to type in wheelchair tube into Safari. Should I make it two words?
I'm going to go directly to wheelchairtube.com.
I'm trying it. That's what I'm doing. Did you mean wheelchair tube came up? Because obviously I typed it in wrong. And unfortunately, wheelchair tube and tire change on YouTube came up. And it's literally all just like, here, your elite cruiser, your easy cruiser, folding and compact, perfect travel. It's like useful stuff for wheelchairs, apparently. Who would have thought, honestly? Apparently people don't know what the word tube means.
I think we've discovered a gap in the porno market. Maybe we should launch this project.
Maybe we should. Maybe what we should do, dude, here's the deal. We get a grant from the Australian government, or like the American government, or like the Handicap Association of America to go and quote-unquote invest, you know, this thing over there and see if it's something that might some kind of non-for-profit. We could start in America using prostitutes to go give guys hand jobs, and somehow we get paid by the government. You know what I mean? So we make the documentary. We get someone that pays us to, like, go and study it and make a documentary, and on the side we're, like, adding music and shit to the hand job clips and selling it on wheelchair too.
Nice.
I mean, really, that's the only difference. It's like a background beat between a documentary and someone getting a fucking hand job, probably.
It would be a good premise for, like, a Will Ferrell kind of movie. Like, if some dude hears about that, so he like, moves to Australia and pretends to be wheelchair-bound just to get jerked off.
Oh, my God. Dude, I guarantee you that has probably really happened
in
real life. I mean, obviously. What a sure thing. I mean, I love it. Oh, wait. Hold on. Ex-hamster.
Uh-oh.
Busty Celeste fucks man in wheelchair.
Oh, good Lord.
Second page. He's not really in a wheelchair, though. So he's in a – let's just say fucks man sitting in a wheelchair. because he, this guy is not fucking disabled by any means, except by the overgrowth of his penis.
I mean, I want to see some raunchy shit where, like, a girl is, like, jerking off a wheelchair guy while she's, like, dumping his colostomy bag on her fucking tits. That's what I'm into.
Well, I mean, in the business, we call those multitaskers.
That's right. That's right.
I don't want to send her in just for the... I guess I should have done more information. I wonder if it's just, like, you go in and you give the fucking hand job, or are you expected to, like, sit him on the shitter and fucking do that whole route, too? You know what I mean?
Yeah, do you have to towel up afterwards, or is it kind of up to him to use his mouth tool to...
They do wear rubber gloves. I did see that.
Are they studded?
Well, I mean, think about it. The lady probably comes in and says this to
the guy.
Do they
use rubber gloves?
Do you want to take a bath today and eat, or would you rather just have me give you a hand job and leave? The guy started that like 3 days later.
Exactly. He died with a smile on his face.
Right. He was dehydrated.
He's depleted of protein.
Right, yeah. He had no energy left. That would make an interesting documentary.
It would.
I don't want to be sick, but what do you think they're wearing?
The nurses?
Yeah, I mean, I guess... I like to imagine them being halfway decent looking, but they might just be like the dregs of society nurses who are old and can't do anything else. But I mean, you got to think that they got to be kind of spry if they're jerking off guys all day.
I would almost think that's like the shit job you have to do when you first become a nurse. Like, all right,
you got to
go jerk off the wheelchair guy.
Right.
And then clean the toilets.
If you're not jerking off wheelchair guys and fucking, people with mental disabilities, think about all the pent-up frustration that you would feel if you, like, could not release said emotions, so to speak. You really couldn't help yourself to do that. To manipulate your own body, I guess, is what I would like to say in a nutshell.
Yeah. I've thought about that before. Like, I think we've all considered, like, if we got in a bad car accident or something and
right.
we were, like, a something plegic. As a dude, that's a big concern. Like, what do you do when you get incredibly fucking horny but you can't move from the neck down? You're still producing the juices that make you want it.
I would say if there was not a fucking hand job angel, I fucking would probably just say cut my fucking nuts off, please.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that too. Exactly. Take them
really?
Away. If there's no use to me but frustration, get rid of them.
If you're not having sex with someone ever or being able to jerk yourself off, I say you have to get rid of your fucking balls.
Yeah.
Because why? First of all, why have them? Second of all, your mind would be so much more clear. You know what I mean? Think about this shit.
If you don't have the ability to access that release,
right?
I think it would make you go insane. I literally think you would not be able to stop thinking.
I agree with that
100%. You would just lose your fucking mind.
I totally fucking agree with that. I think that's probably why so many schools and shit are getting shot up. I wonder if they could do some kind of study saying that they need to start insisting that fucking all 17-year-old or 16-year-old boys get fucking jacked off to cut down on violent crime.
Yes, they should.
We should take jacking off to the inner city.
Well, some teachers try that with their students, and they just get in trouble.
You know, and those are the ones that I find are the ones that really care.
Fuck yeah, dude. Don't be my favorite teacher if I was 17 years old.
I mean, think about it. First of all, kids are just fucking stupid. You know what's really ruining that, I think, is social media. You just can't help but text someone that you boned your fucking teacher or a teacher for some reason can't help themselves from sending a naked picture of themselves to a fucking student. I mean, should you really be teaching our kids? Because if you're that fucking stupid, then you probably shouldn't be teaching anything.
But at the same time, if I'm a 17-year-old dude and I'm getting regular handies or BJs from a hot teacher, I'm less likely to go into that school and just open fire on the off chance I might accidentally kill her.
That's right. You get plenty of target practice on her without even having to bring a firearm.
Right. My protein cannon.
Oh, nicely done. You should. Let's make a T-shirt with an arrow down to the fucking waist that says protein cannon.
Yes, we should.
Look into my protein cannon.
My protein cannon is locked and loaded.
Let's make a fucking energy drink in the shape of a dick and call it protein cannon and put it in 7-Eleven.
Oh, my God. So, oh, geez, we're making one of those interactive deals. Like, we buy these yogurts that have, like, crushed almonds on one side and yogurt on the other, and you're supposed to, like, dump them together in some special way. We'll do, like, the dick shaft has, like, a caffeine drink, but then there's, like, Red Bull in the balls, so you got to squeeze the balls to mix it all together.
Oh, my God.
Drink it out of the penis head.
Oh, my God. You enjoy the top part as long as you want until you want the creamy finish.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, of course it's like opalescent and creamy looking.
Oh my God. And we will fucking call that part of the protein cannon the money shot.
Money shot by protein cannon. Oh my God.
No, just the little ball part that you, that you squeeze. That's called the money shot part of the protein cannon.
Oh my God. Squeeze the money shot and your protein cannon is loaded. Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded with protein cannon.
God.
With a patented money shot. Super stimulator.
Oh, no, it's patented money shot technology.
You know what? There's actually a fucking compressed air, a little compressed air in there. So when you fucking pop it, it squirts out. Give your friend a money shot.
And you can poke a straw down the pee hole like one of those sun-kissed pouches.
No, that's what you. Yeah, that's called the catheter. It's a diet. That's more of a diet drink.
The diet drink, the extreme catheter.
Oh, my God. Yes, we should do that. And think about it. We could just sell those in all the gyms and all these chicks. You know what? We could make one that's shaped to fit between your fake tits. Like, it'd be perfectly shaped like a dick, so it just slides in between your fake tits when you got your running bra on or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Protein cannon. What are you doing? Just enjoying a protein cannon.
And, oh, we could make a special, like, carrier, kind of like a fanny pouch, so that whenever a dude's carrying his protein cannon, it like looks like a big bulge in his pants.
There you go. Yeah, it's like a, what do you call those things? A fanny pack.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be awesome. The protein cannon with the patented money shot.
Oh, my God.
We should do a radio spot for that. That's too easy.
Yeah, it is too easy. I can just totally see a spoof of like a 5-hour energy kind of thing.
Oh, my God. About how we invented money cannon, how we thought of it. Not like a legitimate one, like a bullshit thing. Like, years of research led us to this shape that we find occurs so naturally in nature, from tree limbs to, you know what I mean? And it just seems so handy. It's so easy to hold. And you just, something about it just seems so natural, the shape of the protein cannon with the patented money shot.
Like monkeys holding bananas, even since primordial time.
Oh, my God. Caveman holding a club.
Like a mastodon bone.
And then, like, common man holding a golf club. So many things are just so natural. Oh, my. For a woman, we could do, like, a scrub brush. All right, I might have went too far. That was getting into the first infomercial.
Yeah,
the naked protein infomercial for the protein cannon.
We'll have to resurrect Billy Mays for that one.
It will show on Cinemax after 2 a.m. every weekend. So how did we get there from talking about people in wheelchairs getting handjobs?
Because we're fucked up.
Yes, obviously we are very sick and demented, so thanks for tuning in. Give us a call at 646-478-0616. Seaman boy, we need to hear from you, dude. We're worried about you.
Yes.
I'm afraid that you had a lobotomy.
If you're handicapped and you've ever gotten a hand job by a nurse, have that nurse call us at 646-478-0616. Tell us all about it in great detail.
Tell us if you were allowed to. I mean, imagine you couldn't. Maybe that's a bad thing, because think about it, then that dude just sits around thinking about that next hand job forever. He probably would become, they probably like fall in love with these chicks and stuff. You think that's a possibility?
Maybe. I mean, hand jobs are like laced potato chips.
Oh my God.
Can't have this long.
I can see some guy chasing around this nurse's car and like, I know you're in there giving him a hand job, some kind of wheelchair, like wheeled himself from door to door.
Oh,
is she in there giving you a hand job? I wonder if they collect the release.
I don't know. I mean, they probably, I wonder, it's a clinical setting. So they probably
it's not.
Don't, like,
it's not. They go to their house. They go to their house and do it.
But surely they have a kit that has, like, maybe some sort of umbrella that they can put.
Oh, my God. She's wearing a face shield.
Yeah, it's like a welder's
mask. I think you would insist on it, wouldn't you? A guy that doesn't get to bust that often is probably going to go off like a fucking water hose.
You know that gig's only going to take, like, half a second. It's not like you're there 20 minutes. It's like, all right, touch, boom. So yeah.
You don't think so? I don't know. You might have to do extra work, because think these guys might not have full like, I guess, feeling in some of their.
That's right. That's right. They have to do some kinky shit.
Wow, what an interesting life. Someone should write a book. Some lady should write a book that does that for a living.
Yeah.
Let me look up
50 Shades of Grey.
You know what? I never read 50. Did you read 50 Shades of Grey?
No, of course not.
Well, I mean, aren't you intrigued about the whole idea? Look, dude, I learned more. I don't know a lot about chicks, but I know a little bit about chicks. And I learned all of it from reading 17 Magazine for Chicks when I was like 15. And I'm not fucking lying there. I'm telling the truth about that.
No, I believe you. I believe you. And I kind of admire that.
That's how you learn about the future of how chicks think, is like read the magazines or the TV shows that they're watching. You're in like,
Lynn.
You know, then you know their mindset exactly, even though it's all fucked up. I mean, you know, everybody's fucked up. Is it? I thought it was, I considered it responsible.
Well, it is responsible. It's devious because nobody else would think of it. I mean, you get a leg up on the competition.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm Googling handjob angels to see if that's what they. Yeah, these volunteers. True. There it is.
Wasn't handjob angel part of the Justice League?
Yes, they are. Listen to this. Handjob angels are giving the disabled handjobs for charity. They're
it's
not
free.
Even fucking nurses, dude. For
oh,
patients
man.
With severe disabilities, life can be a struggle. Holy crap. Ola. They're showing men here with this disabled guy.
I was going to ask you that. I mean, because it's pretty much a utilitarian kind of thing. Does it matter? Do they care if it's a man or a woman? Is it just like, all right, get me off, John?
Hand angels. Doesn't really say. Vice recently caught up with one of the Hand Angels clients who gave some thoughts on the experience. Entered, oh, here you go. Andy is a sheltered gay man with muscular dystrophy in Taiwan, has struggled with the desire to make deeper connections, blah, blah, blah. So I guess that's why they're showing the picture with a guy giving a guy a hand job because he's gay. So, yeah, your sexual preference, well, that's a hard one to say. Maybe sexual preference doesn't matter. I don't know.
I guess
that didn't really answer it.
If the paraplegic's blind, I guess you just send whoever's available.
That's true. This is a chick here. She's lubing up. She's not bad looking. I'd take one just to make sure that she knew what she was doing. Imagine being the guy that oversees the whole thing. He's like, well, obviously I'm going to have to see how good of a hand job you give to see if you get the job or not.
That's right, during the interview process. Like, I'm going to sit in this wheelchair for a second. I just want to see your handiwork.
And I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna have to see your reaction with the follow through too, because a lot of that time that can be off putting for people. So you're just gonna have to take me all the way. And I want you to know I'm not gonna enjoy this at all.
That's right. This is purely professional. It's professional.
But you think I like having to feed my family this way, getting hand jobs all day? I hate hand jobs.
Oh my God. Hang on, I gotta jot that down, dude. That quote's great.
He's wearing a Rolex for the fun of it, or the sport.
The sport.
You think they have like little? They probably have like some little thing where it's like Joe can give 18 hand jobs an hour, while Mary is only giving 6.
They probably have a quota for commissions.
I would have to imagine they do.
And
you know what? What if it is taking all day, dude? You can't, like, walk out in the middle of a fucking hand job on some fucking guy. It's just not fair.
Maybe they work in shifts, or they have, like, tag teams.
Oh, my God. I agree with that. Maybe they do work in shifts.
Like, if one guy...
It turns out everybody works at the... They're teams of 5, actually.
Is it just to maneuver the person into a hand jobbable position?
they are showing them having to do that to this guy. Wow. Oh, see, the guy that founded the thing was lost his legs to polio. And now he can better empathize. He's the guy that's getting all the fucking hand jobs.
He just lost his legs. That's a little creepy. I think he's taking advantage now.
I wonder if there's – see, I'm looking to see if there's, people that would give them, women sexual releases. But I'm hearing that so far I'm not seeing that. The Netherlands government pays for the severely disabled to get jacked off once a month.
Ooh, okay. Can I pay for a premium upgrade?
Hand jobs for handicapped. Maybe it is sex workers that go and imagine. Some are some PhD students, some are social campaigners. What the hell? Oh, well, here we go. Hugging, caressing, and kissing on the face are all fine, but anything penetrative, fingering, oral sex, vaginal sex, and anal sex is not.
Hmm.
So blowjob out of the question, unless you slip them an extra 20.
Yeah, I was going to say, count me out.
It is for charity. Let's all remember it's for charity.
That's right.
I mean,
is that a line item on your tax return? I gave 50 blowjobs last year.
Yes, it is, actually. You only gave 50? Wow. Dude, I was given 50 a week at one time.
It was a slow year for me. Well, yeah, you got a website. Everybody knows
your website.
You know
what? I would have thought that your clientele would have gone up when you grew the beard.
You
just
think so.
So it's so much more masculine.
It tickles the tank too much. I find people don't like that.
Oh, I guess that's not penetration. Kissing
that's
of
true.
The taint. Taint kissing is fine. Beard caressing apparently is fine.
I prefer to nibble, not just kiss.
You're a nibbler, are you? Are you a nibbler?
Yeah, I'm a nibbler.
Jesus, you're making me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I'm making myself sick to my stomach.
So how is spring? Looks like spring has sprung there in Arkansas.
Oh, my God. It's so fucking fantastic. It finally stopped raining. It's not cold. Just earlier today, I put up a hammock. We have this little group of pine trees. What do you call that? A copse? COPSE, I don't fucking know.
These I don't
like
know. I didn't
40,
know there was
foot.
A name.
Yeah, I think it's a copse of trees is what you call it. It's a little group of pine
right.
trees. I bought a hammock and put it up there, and I spent about an hour and a half just laying in that hammock, staring straight up at the sky, and it was the best time I've had in about 39 years of life.
Did you fall asleep at all?
I tried. I didn't. But I did close my eyes, but it didn't matter. I didn't want to fall. I wanted to fall asleep because
right.
I was tired. But at the same time,
right.
it was just the experience.
Breathing
was so
it all
relaxing.
In.
Yeah, I wanted to be
sounds
awake
like you
for
were
it.
Smoking marijuana. Were you smoking marijuana?
I was not, man. I should have
oh,
been.
Oh, wait.
That
wait till you try
it.
That. Yeah, wait till you do that.
What's funny is I did the same
you might
thing
trip
yesterday.
Out and think you're falling into the earth.
Yeah, or falling into the trees. Boy, looking up at those trees and the blue sky.
So did you
changing.
Spend a lot of money? Did you buy the most expensive one there is?
The hammock? No, it was like $60.
That's a good hammock. You didn't get like one of those super cheap, crappy hammocks.
No, well, that was the super cheapest one I could find. But,
no,
it,
but
it's
not
good.
Like one of those ones made out of a net that costs like $4 in Mexico.
No. It's solid. I mean, except for the ropes at the end, it's you know nice canvas or whatever the fuck they use, burlap.
The hammocks are good. I actually almost got hurt on a hammock one time.
I could see that happening. What happened?
Well, it was in Austin, Texas. I was over at Wardlow's house when he lived off Bluebonnet over near Barton Springs. And him and his buddy, I was sitting in this hammock that Wardlow had in his backyard. He had a nice setup in his backyard. And they were doing cocaine, right? And I was playing
sure.
guitar and we're just fucking around. So I'm laying on this hammock, right? And, of course, we've drank in like four cases of beer. I mean, needless to say. And smoked a bunch
sure.
of weed. I did not do cocaine, though, because I've never done cocaine. I don't think I would enjoy cocaine. But so they're swinging
no.
me. I'm laying in this hammock, right? And it's got a pretty good... It's got a lot of rope, I guess. You know, it was between two trees, but there was it would swing pretty good. So they're swinging
sure.
me, and I'm going super far up in the air, right? And it was fun. It was actually really fun. And they keep swinging me. It goes on. I mean, it seemed like a long time for me, but I, like I said, I was high and drunk. So they're swinging me, and one of the sides snaps off, dude. Like snaps
oh, no.
off the tree when I'm as high up as I could possibly go. And I hold on to the hammock. Only one side fell apart. The other side was part, like still on the other tree. And it slammed me to the ground super fucking hard, right? So hard that I could hear both
wow.
these guys go, oh! You know what I mean? Like, ah! And it was one of those things where I would have thought that I would really fucking be hurt. And
yeah.
I was not hurt at all. It's like I bounced. I guess I was so high and so drunk that I just, like, bounced. And because I didn't tense up or anything, I wasn't
right.
even fucking hurt. I mean, seriously, I got up and was saying to those guys, like, oh, my God, dude. You know, they're like, lay down. You're probably really hurt. And I was like, no, I'm not fucking hurt at all. It was really amazing. So it is probably true that drunk people do survive more car crashes because they just kind of bounce.
Totally believe that because you're totally limp. You don't expect it. And you take it in stride. You're like, wow, this is interesting. I'm
yeah, I mean, really. I really, really should have been seriously hurt. I mean, this is a guy, I hurt my legs really bad just jumping up for a football in the front yard. So it's not like I'm, like, super tough or something.
Your mind was prepared, and mind controls the body. So
I don't see, my mind wasn't prepared. That was the deal. I just was, I didn't even acknowledge it was happening. I knew it was happening, but the one split second my whole, like, reality was, thanks to drugs and alcohol, probably saved my life.
Yes.
What do they say? That, like, supposedly everything is happening. How long does it take your brain to process something, I guess?
About 10 minutes.
But I'm saying there's got to be, like, obviously between what's happening right now and you hearing me talking, there's got to be, like, a little bit of time. Well,
Blog
Talk Radio, notwithstanding.
Exactly.
So it's like we're always living in the past, Rufus. Like one hundredth of a second or something, probably.
Yeah, something like that. But the weird thing is that there's only a past perceived by us because we're in the third dimension. But if we were in a higher dimension, there would be no past. So that kind of blows my mind.
So what, there would be no time then?
Yeah, there is no time in, like, a higher dimension. It's just like, man, I read a really crazy book called Flatland. It's really short. It's really cool. It almost reads like a children's book, but it makes some pretty profound points. And it's this dude, he's a square, living in a one-dimensional world, right? And it's squares and triangles and circles, and they're all just kind of doing their thing, and they got to be careful because they have sharp points and they might kill each other because they're two-dimensional. And then the square encounters this line once that's just sort of pulsating, going back and forth, getting bigger and smaller, and it turns out it's actually a sphere in the third dimension penetrating the first dimension. So he can only perceive this line getting bigger and smaller as it's moving up and down. And so he becomes friends with it.
But it's actually coming in and out.
Third dimension. Right. So the whole theory is that time is really kind of like that. We only perceive it as linear because we're stuck in the third dimension. But really, if we were like in the fourth or fifth dimension, we would just see, like, I would look at you, and I wouldn't see, like, you right now. I would see this thing that is zigzag that encompasses everything you've ever been in the past or the future, and it always will be. So maybe I took that in a weird direction.
You just blew my mind, dude. You blew my mind with that fucking brain candy.
Sorry, I'm not even high.
Wow, that's a bummer. Imagine what you were, you would have taken that then. Hey, here's something weird, dude. Let me tell you about one of the first times I got really fucking high. I didn't really smoke that much weed until I went to college at St. Edward's.
Okay.
And we got, me and my buddy, this is like, you know, I lived in the dorm and shit, and these are guys that I only knew for like probably a month at this point, right? These guys, my roommate, wasn't my roommate, it was two of the guys that I met while, you know how I ended up with my friends at St. Edward's? We were waiting in line at the fucking, to get our pictures taken for our IDs together. That's how I met the guys that ended up becoming my best friends. Yeah, I mean, that's how we met, literally. So, we score a bag of weed somehow. I had to ask like the sketchiest dude, I thought the sketchiest dude at St. Edward's for a bag of weed, or if he knew where to get a bag of weed. He got us a bag of weed, but then I ended up becoming friends with him later, and he's like, I just wanted to tell you, dude, you know, I really went out of my way to score that bag of weed. I didn't know where to get weed. He, like, ended up asking, like, five people to get it. Well, I figured since he was from Austin, he would know. But,
sure.
Yeah. So Joe Molina was his name.
He was looking for friends, so he's like, I got to come through for this guy so I can have a friend.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly. Or I got to live up to the stereotype because I've got long hair. That's more like it, really.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But so we get high and we go to St. Edward's had one fraternity, and it was the business fraternity. You remember that fraternity?
I do. I know a guy in it. Yeah.
What is it? I can't remember the name of it right now. Delta something, Sigma, Delta Sigma, Sigma Delta something.
I think there's one somewhere.
So we're new to St. Edward's. We're new to Austin, and this guy on our floor, Frank Garza, was in the fraternity. So they're having a party, right, like a keg party, big deal for, you know, a couple guys who just started college. So we smoke this joint, and we go to this keg party, right, and of course it's a business fraternity, so it's all these fucking people. And granted, this is Texas, dude, 1987. You could not probably have got a more conservative fucking group of people together in Texas unless you went back to, like, Teddy Roosevelt or something. He was probably more left wing than these guys, obviously. But so we're high, we're super fucking high. We smoke like five joints, right? We're like, woo, it's the weekend. Started smoking weed at like fucking noon on a Friday.
Sure.
And so we go to this party, and these people, we were so fucking high that I looked at my buddy Jim, and he looked at me, and we looked at this other guy, Mark, and it was like all the fucking shit was happening around us. Right, like people weren't even noticing that we were there because they're all in their own little worlds. But we knew each other. It was just really fucking strange. And I said to him, it's like we're sharks in the fourth dimension because we're just going in and out of these groups of people, right, and observing them, like totally fucking high, just like observing them and saying, you know, and taking in what they were saying and shit. And they were like, it was so strange. I mean, it was my first time really fucking being high and having like a, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it was, I don't want to say out of body, but like disconnected from reality in a way that I was able to like step outside of what reality is and watch it really fucking happen. Like watch it, observe it for what it is, you know, not like be so caught up in it that I'm part of it, but say, hey, this is what's going on, you know, and it's something different than my perception of reality or those people's, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Just need to say I was really fucking high.
Activated your pineal gland.
Yes, I think I did. I think I had a little DMT trip there. But it was a profound enough moment that it's always fucking stuck with me.
That's
now
awesome.
My
first time getting high was not that profound. I really don't remember much about it. I really never got high until we met, until Roehampton.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't my first time, like, smoking weed, but it was my first time getting really fucking high. Like,
yeah.
High enough, but high in a way that I used the high. Instead of just, like, laughing, giggling, and being fucking goofy, I was like, wow,
yeah.
Fucking being high, there's more to being high than just having a good time. I mean, being high gives your brain, like, power to think or just different ways of thinking. It opens up channels of thinking that aren't normally there, you know, that give you a whole new perspective on problem solving, any type of thing, any type of situation, really.
That's, I mean, maybe it's because I'm 40 years old, but that's what I look forward to. Like, I can't wait, you know, to take a hit just because I'm like, man, now I can really sort of analyze what's going on, but enjoy the process at the same time, you know. It's
right. I'm not saying things can't
know.
Be funny. Fuck, we rip it up on the show, and I'm always high for the show.
Yeah, I very rarely am, except toward the end. But, like, you know, I usually don't indulge until the wife and the kid are in bed, which is pretty early
right.
for them. And then I just sit up, and I'm not doing goofy, crazy, stupid shit. I mean, I'm, like doing some research on stuff and, like, learning how to do something and really just sort of thinking about the day. And I don't know. You feel
yeah, it's
really
definitely
good,
a tool.
But it's like a clarity in a weird way.
It's a tool. I think of smoking pot like a tool. I mean, yes, you know, just because I feel like I have a funny personality and you have a funny personality too, that it's easy to get high and think even of serious shit, think of funny shit. But that's because your mind is exploring like every option. You just don't get stuck into one fucking way
yeah.
of thinking about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's why the government hates pot.
It is, because it lets you think about serious – well, first of all, it lets you think about serious shit, A, but also in a way that you feel disconnected from it and you kind of be objective and literal and real and enjoy it at the same time. So
– right.
I don't know. We.
I would say the government's worst nightmare, dude, the government's worst nightmare is probably 100,000 people getting together, smoking a joint – but I want these to be people that never smoked a joint before. And watch that fucking movie Zeitgeist. If that should just that fucking should piss people off.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You realize that your cable company is calling you fucking 10 times a day and calling you a shithead over money you don't even owe them yet, that is not even fucking a real thing anyways. It's just a way to keep you, like, enslaved, basically.
Exactly. Yep. Money's a phantasm.
Right, and we know that, but, dude, 99.8 million afterwards of people do not fucking realize that money is not a fucking real thing when you come down to the end of the day. That's
dude,
why they
that's
can't
exactly,
put...
That's
why they
that's
got rid
exactly,
of debtors' prison.
Right, and that's why we're trying to basically go off the grid financially. I mean, we sold our vehicles and bought cash. We don't owe anything
right.
on vehicles. We're going to have this
I'm
place
the same way.
Paid off in 4 years. I mean, I want no debt owed to anyone, because when crunch time comes, if the government's like, okay, let's fuck everyone. How are we going to do it? Okay, we're just going to nullify all fucking money. Well, if I don't have or need money, then okay, great. Go for it. You know, I own my house, whatever.
Right. I mean, what are they going to do, let you fucking die or starve to death? I mean, yeah, that's the sad part. But that's to prove to other people that you don't need money or that you need money. Off the grid. I like it. Sorry, I'm eating a Reese's peanut butter cup, so I was a little distracted there.
Those are good. Is it room temperature, or do you take it out of the freezer or the fridge?
No, it's room temperature. Unfortunately, it's room temperature. I do prefer them chilled, but I kind of grabbed this guy on the way home. Right before the show at my Quickie Mart. It's called
that's
Hilo.
It's called Hilo?
Hilo Gas. It's a gas station owned by some Indian guys.
Weren't you going to have one of those guys on the show? Don't you know one
yeah,
of them?
No, I was going to get Rinku, my buddy Rick, as he likes to be called, to definitely... I wanted him to do a voiceover for the show, and I know he will. I just, you know what, the one day I was going to ask him, it was too crowded in there, so I didn't get a chance to ask him. But yeah, I want Rick to give us a, hey, you're listening to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with Zigzag and Rufus. Yeah.
Dude, Rick, it'd be awesome.
Well, you know what I would have? There's a new guy there. His name's Jesse. I don't know what Jesse's real name is because I probably could. It's probably all consonants or something. But he doesn't speak very good English. It would be the fucking best one, but I don't think he has a good enough sense of humor to get that why I was doing it.
He hasn't been Americanized enough.
Right, exactly. Thank you. That's exactly. Well, you know what? I don't know if that's it. I think that Rick came over from India with because they're cousins, like with just a better personality than Jesse.
You know, it's funny. Whenever I worked for, I used to work for an online eyewear retailer, and in our tech department, there was a girl. Well, it's a woman, I guess. She was the head of the tech department, and she was Indian. And there were several other Indian employees. They were all really cool. But her name was Rinku. And I've never
really?
Heard that name other anywhere else, yeah. And I always thought it was cool. I've always made the joke with them that their names sounded like Pokemon characters.
You know, what? You know, here's the thing. His last name is Singh, which is like basically like Smith. In,
yeah.
There's always, for a while, there was all these Indian guys getting busted around where I lived. Selling that spice. You know what that is? Like that synthetic marijuana?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was like a big deal. You can get synthetic marijuana online, and it's like poison for your brain. It's like bath salt. It's like smoking bath salt, right? They just put chemicals on, like, leaves of crap. And they sell it as incense. They sell it on incense, but people smoke it. And people get addicted to it. But these guys were selling it out of these little gas stations. And one of the guys had like $3 million in his fucking bank account from selling this shit.
Wow.
They only really sold it in the inner city, though. It was pretty strange. But his name, like all the guys that got busted, their name was Singh. And I asked that guy, Rick, you know, I'm like, dude, are those guys related to you? Because they own like little convenience stores and stuff. He's like, oh, no. Singh is like everybody's name in India.
Right.
So... You know, you'd think that, like, some other country, I don't know, that they wouldn't all have the same last name. But I guess that's, like, the cradle of the world. Maybe they all should have the same last name.
That's true.
Is that the cradle of the world, Rufus? I'm not really sure what that means.
Isn't it? I have no idea either. I thought it was Africa-ish.
All right, so did I, but I didn't. I mean, that's all kind of right there, though, or is it not? I get confused when I get over towards India. Where exactly is India? What continent is India on?
I don't know. It seems like almost another planet because when I think of Europe, I think of like France and Spain and Italy, and they're all kind of like us. But India is totally not like us, but I think it's like right there.
Is it?
I'm looking it up.
I'm going to look it up. Damn it. That's what I learned at St. Edward's. I actually got a good grade in geography there.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty easy. I took it in summer school. Basically, it was like learning the whole...
It's over by China and Pakistan and all those shitty places.
Now, is China is not attached to Russia, right? There's a tiny little ocean between them?
Hell, Google Maps won't let me resize the map.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah, the internet's worthless.
So it's on what continent? It's on Africa? No.
Well, it's on the...
Oh, this is,
whatever continent has Russia and China. What is that continent called?
It's over by Pakistan. Where is all that shit? I kind of thought that was over by Europe, but I guess not, huh?
Look at Mongolia. I didn't know Mongolia was so fucking big. Still.
Yeah, I knew Mongolia's
huge.
Big.
Jesus.
That's just that's like the Russian part of China still, isn't it? Like from 1940.
But look at Afghanistan. It's smaller than Texas, and yet they're just fucking shit up all over there. Which is
fucking the world
there.
Up.
Yeah.
Thanks. We should get a shirt. Well, let's get some shirts made. You know what? Let's get some shirts made and have them say, thanks, Afghanistan, and sell them to disabled veterans. Think that would be a hit?
Well, look at Iraq. Look how small Iraq is.
I know. It's ridiculous.
It is fucking
That's what happens when you give psychos fucking... Obviously, we could go there and just fucking blow them up.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we did a couple of times.
We just don't have balls anymore.
Right, exactly. That's the problem. That's that. You know what? That is the problem. It's not China doesn't respect us. You know, Russia doesn't respect us.
Yeah. It's not really that we don't have balls. It's just we're insulated by oceans on each side and relatively non-threatening countries above and below us. So we're just complacent. We're just like, eh, whatever. So we just do the bare minimum to keep shit under control over there because it doesn't really impact us here. But, I mean, yeah, a humanitarian thing to do would be to just nuke all that fucking shit after getting women and children out just to get rid of all the ISIS filth and stuff.
Iran doesn't even fucking respect us. We're too busy trying to do, quote-unquote, the right thing. You know what I mean? The politically correct thing when... Sometimes the right thing isn't the fucking politically correct thing. It's just the necessary thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Man, we are on fire tonight, aren't we, Ruth? We're solving all the world's problems tonight.
We are. We are. You want to listen to us.
I hope that Obama's listening in. I think he does. I think he listens. Or does he listen on Tuesday night or Thursday nights, I mean?
And last time I talked to him, he said that he downloads it to his iPhone, iPhone 3, believe it or not, every Wednesday, but then he gets caught up on the weekends because he doesn't do anything on the weekends.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I guess he's usually out of the office by, like, noon on Friday.
Yeah. That's true.
He does not. And he comes in, he's like a 10 o'clock in the morning guy on Monday, too, just so you know.
He'll text me. It's funny. He'll text me at like 11:45 from like his quote unquote work phone, but then like an hour later he texts me from his other phone, and he's obviously stoned to shit. And he's like, "Loving the show, man. You guys did a great job this week." So he pretty much blows off work at noon.
I love when he calls himself D-Bama.
Yeah, me too.
I think I remember that time he called himself OG Bama.
OG Bama, that's right. That's right.
We should make a t-shirt.
Party.
Let's make a t-shirt with his head on it, and it says Bro Bama at the fucking bottom.
Bro Bama.
Oh, no, let's do an OG Bama. That have him wear, he'd have to be like wearing a bunch of fucking thug shit and have like gold teeth and whatnot.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's probably got that in the White House,
Oh, I bet he does. I know he has a grill, dude. I know every respectable black man has a grill. Like, fine couple.
Washington had one.
That's true.
Made out of wood.
That was like the world's first grill. And now, is it true? I think Benjamin Franklin actually crafted those wood teeth for George Washington.
I think he did.
Misnomer is they weren't wood teeth. The only part that was wood is the plate that held the fake teeth together.
Really?
Yes.
And
that's true.
Is it true?
That is true.
That wood came off the Gutenberg press?
It actually came... from the cherry tree that George Washington chopped down as a child.
Wow, what are the odds?
Right, he kept a chunk for one day he knew he would need a... Well, the teeth were actually made out of ivory. I guess you could believe that.
Well, I mean, really, when you think about it, that's a lot of foresight. When you're a child chopping down a cherry tree and you're like, I'm going to eat so many fucking cherries, my teeth are going to rot. I better save some of this wood.
Well, the deal was,
that's the guy I want running my country.
He was eating a cherry and he bit into a pit and broke one of his teeth. So he knew to keep a piece of wood. That's why he chopped down the fucking cherry tree. He was so pissed because his fucking tooth was broken that he decided just to chop it down.
He was getting
and the rest
the
of
cherry
his village
tree,
star.
Like I used to hit my Nintendo video game. God damn you, cherry tree!
Exactly, yes. He did not have anything to throw. He didn't have a remote to throw at a TV, so he just chopped down the cherry tree with a very crude axe, I'm sure.
It was a tantrum.
Yes, it was a tantrum. George Washington's first tantrum.
That's a great name for a children's book.
Oh, my God. That would be. I mean, what is the moral to that story? I guess he lied about the cherry tree, but then came fucking president anyways. Where's the moral to the fucking story? He lied and became president. That's what I'm taking away from that story.
Yeah, I guess. That's a good question, dude. I really don't know even how the story goes. So he cut down a cherry tree. His dad got pissed, and he fessed up and said, I cut down the cherry tree. Really, the significance of that is lost on me.
I guess he just was being honest and said, I cut down the cherry tree. I mean, he didn't try to lie about it, or did he try to lie about it?
I thought there was a lie involved in that whole tale, but I don't recall.
Really, I think the lie comes down to, hey, anybody with a fucking axe is a badass that can chop down a fucking cherry tree and become president.
That's right. That's right. It's very symbolic. If you have an axe and wooden teeth, it kind of says something.
It does, especially ones carved out of ivory, stuck. You like can take down a fucking giant woolly mammoth for its tusks to carve into your teeth.
That's right. That's right.
I think you know what?
Teeth out of mammoth and trees.
I saw where hipsters are doing that. They're actually selling. Expedia has a trip where you can go and hunt down a giant elephant and take its tusk to make buttons for your trousers.
Buttons for your trousers, for your suspenders too?
Yes. Well, you know what? You have to take down like a family member of the elephant if you want to make more buttons.
Oh,
and the rest, you're only allowed to use a very small percentage of the ivory, and then you have to give the rest to charity. So it's okay to kill a giant elephant if you're giving a small part of its tusk to charity.
Now, could I also kill a saber-toothed tiger and use one of its teeth as a needle on my gramophone record player so I could play vintage albums?
Huh. I guess I actually assumed you were already doing so.
Oh, I did present that impression. I'm sorry. But no, that's just a want of mine.
I'm going to have to tell you what, dude. Are you still growing your beard?
I've never like pursued the whole full beard. I always like trim it back so it looks more like
okay.
I forgot to shave.
Okay. We're okay then, because what I was going to say, when I feel like you're hitting the hipster threshold on that beard, I'm going to tell you to fucking reel it in, all right? Because hipsters provide a lot of fucking fodder for us on this show because they're easy targets. I don't want to screw that up by you growing a hipster beard. It gives us no legitimacy.
No, I'm not doing the hipster beard. My hipster beard is the Indiana Jones sort of been lost in the jungle for 4 days beard.
Okay. That's like an 80s porn beard, so you're good with that.
I mean,
as long as you don't start
jungle,
gelling your hair.
I found a boutique barber to give me a beard trim.
So they know exactly how to give you that 4 days in the bush trim. I think on my razor... My hair clipper thing, I actually have 4 days in the bush is the name of one of the clipper adjustments.
4 days in the bush. That sounds like a documentary name about, I don't know, fucking a lot of 70s hookers.
It's about a guy who was well known for his cunnilingus skills in the early 70s.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Hang on. I got to write that down.
Hey, we're going to take it into the VIP, correct, Amundo?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, for you people that didn't get to, here we go. We're going to the VIP.
4 days in the bush.
Welcome to the VIP. You are our guest. The Rufus and Zigzag, the Hypersloth Happy Hour. Welcome to the VIP.
Welcome. I have to warn you, Double Z.
Yes.
I just took a weed hit, and I'm a lightweight, so things might go downhill from here.
Oh, no, no. I think they will go uphill tremendously. Thank you for waiting till the VIP part of the show, Rufus. Much appreciated.
I got to make the VIP worthwhile, right?
Dude, is your mind is expanding right now.
I can feel it. It hurts my sinuses.
I'm going to join you with a bong hit then. Ready?
Yes.
Can you hear it or not?
I can hear it. Yes, I can.
Sorry about that. Oh, you probably were you listening super close to that? So anyways, what were we talking about, Rufus?
I don't recall, but I wanted to ask you, like, what is the preferred, your preferred, if you're stranded on a desert island with only one way to smoke, what would it be? Because I got the
unlimited supply of marijuana. Give me an idea of the supply of marijuana that I have.
The supply, it's a desert island that contains nothing but marijuana. The question is, what methodology would you smoke it? Do you prefer a joint or a bong or a hookah? I don't know. Honestly,
I prefer the leisure stone of a joint. Not necessarily sharing a joint. I like to roll a joint and smoke it myself. Usually I won't smoke a whole joint. You know what I mean? I'll take like 10 puffs off of a joint, you know, and then put the joint out. I'm not going to say I have not smoked a whole joint by myself because I've done that probably 1,000 times. But I prefer to smoke a joint, yes. The most efficient way of smoking pot and the way to extend your pot the longest, obviously, is a one-hitter. I do enjoy an occasional bong hit, but I would say, yeah, smoke a joint. Smoke a joint is for me.
Okay, cool. Then I'll have to get some rolling papers. I'm still learning. You're like the Obi-Wan of my journey here.
A joint for one person who doesn't smoke a lot, like you're not going to be able to light up a joint and fucking puff it there at your house, are you?
Where else would I do it?
I don't know. Where would you go out? I mean, a joint makes a lot of smoke, dude.
I never leave.
I know. I meant, but for your son and your wife, as far as smelling goes.
Oh, no. I'd probably be on, like, the back patio or in my hammock.
Oh, in your hammock would be a good spot to smoke a joint. I definitely advise you to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I sent you that Dube tube, right? The 420
yes,
tube, I mean. What you need to do, Rufus, is break up some of that weed, get you some rolling papers. I sent you that rolling machine as well, correct?
Yes, you did.
So get yourself some single-wide paper. Did I send you papers? No, I did not. I told you you needed to get single-wide. Make sure you get single-wide paper, which is white or blue zigzags.
Okay.
But
Why? What's the difference? I've only seen the orange.
Now, those are both the same size. Do not get the orange zigzags because they're too big for that machine. That's the only reason. That's the only reason I'm talking about.
Okay.
Preferably the white papers because they're thinner than the blue papers. But the blue papers have cut corners, but you're using a machine, so the white papers are the ones you want, really. But if you can't find them, the blue ones are fine. So, and roll like three joints, dude. Put them in that Dube tube and stick them outside somewhere, like under some brush or something. And when you hit out there, go out there, smoke a little bit, put it out, put it back in the Dube tube, and, you know, just have it be always convenient out there for some of you, obviously, where your children or your son's not going to find it. Oh, no, Rufus got cut out. We're waiting for Rufus to call back to the show. And while we wait, I think it's only going to be 1 second. Let's see. I can't remember what this sounds like. Let's play this real quick.
Live from the Internet, it's Headline News with Zigzag and Rufus.
That reminds me, we need to do a Headline News gig here in the near future. I don't see why we would not do that. That's a great one. We can also listen. Let's listen in to, let's see. Looks like I'm going to try to call Rufus back here if we can figure out how using this thing on my, let's see. It won't let Rufus call in. I'm trying to see if it'll let us call out. And it doesn't look like it's going to. So I'm going to play us out a little tune here. Let's play Beer is Food. That's a great one. It's going to be a big summer blockbuster this summer. I want you guys to check it out. and give us a call. 646-478-616. We want to say something real quick. Looks like we're going to be wrapping the show. Blog Talk Radio won't let Rufus back in to chat with us anymore. So let's check out Beers Food, and maybe I'll come back with you for a little bit. Maybe I won't. We'll see. Adios, but maybe not.
Walk into the kitchen after a hard day's work. A tray of fingers itching, open them all to mirth. Spend all day sweet sandies at the local sub shop. They got the only thing that gets me through it is a whole bunch of committed hot. Yeah, beer is blue, that's what it's for. Yeah, beer is good.
An excellent song, man. I don't even know why we talk on this radio show, because our music is so badass. I can't help but play another song. This song started it all for us at Happy Slap. Well, it didn't really start it all. Us working together kind of started it all. But this is the first song we wrote and recorded together. If I can find it on here. There it is, right here. This one's Internet Love Song, or like we call it around the band, ILS, because we're badasses. Put your listening ears on and take a bite.